Well, good morning. I have to tell you, today was the first day in my drive up to church that I really felt like fall was here. It was amazing. So you know you have those fall days where it's just kind of a little bit gray and no one was on the road. I thought, okay, fall has arrived. Now, I hope fall hangs around for a while. I hope it doesn't go flying through to winter. I'll be totally content for some cool not freezing weather. Well, we have been working through a series called The Greatest Question Ever, and we have been asking this, and as you see it, if you have notes or that kind of stuff with you this morning, you see that there's a great question, but let me read first from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17, because this is where we're going from. It says, be careful how to live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly. I really like that term, thoughtlessly. Don't act without thinking. See, wise decisions require thought. But rather, understand what the Lord wants you to do. It's about asking intentional questions. And we have that intentional question. We see it. Is, and fill in the blank, is marrying her a wise thing to do? Is taking this job a wise thing to do? Is this, whatever it is this a wise thing to do? Now, as we have been walking through that and processing through that, we have been looking at some chairs. We can leave that up there because as we have been looking at those chairs, this is part of the balance that we've been going through. So first of all, we have these two chairs. We have the fool chair and we have the mocker chair. And when we sit in these chairs, these are not wise things to do. Again, that's the whole tension of the question. Is this a wise thing to do? We have to intentionally be thoughtful. We have to think through, God, what is it you want? What is it you desire? Trying to understand God's agenda. And as we seek to understand God's agenda, and if we are allowing God's values and God's principles, God's agenda to speak into the process of our life decisions, we're not going to be sitting in this chair, and we're not going to be sitting in this chair. Now, this chair is not as bad as this chair. This chair is a worse chair. But they're both poor chairs to be sitting in. Now, this chair makes fun, ridicules, and as the term mocker says, they mock those who are making wise decisions. But the mocker, he'll mock the fool. And he'll mock other mockers. Hey, everyone's a fair target. He will poke at, ridicule, tear down, rip apart anybody. Both of these are lousy chairs to sit in. Now we have talked about these other chairs. All of us, at different times, sit in this chair because all of us at different times are naive. All of us at different times just have things we do not know. And oftentimes we don't really know that we don't know something until we kind of walk through life a little bit and we go, ooh, whew, now that I know, now that I got to do something a little bit different. But we have, sometimes we're just naive. We just don't always understand. But then we have the wise chair and the goal. The goal is to live life in this chair. And so we look at life choices, we look at the issues that are taking place, and the goal is to say, God, am I doing the wise thing? And to build our choices and build our decisions out of sitting in this chair. And when we do that, I would suggest that life works so much better when we make choices from the wise chair. Now, we have, as we look at this, there's a number of things I want us to look at, and if you have your outline, you're going to see we have 3 points we want to touch bases on. So let me start with the first point for us to talk about today. And let me just kind of read what's there, and I have a couple blanks there for you, so let's fill in those blanks. To make wise decisions in any area requires an understanding of and submission to the principles and rules that govern that arena. Let me say that again. To make wise decisions in any arena requires an understanding of and submission to the principles and rules that govern that arena. Let me give you an example. Okay, I have a couple of them here. Coaching. Eugene and I yesterday went down to South Jersey. We went to Cape May Courthouse. Some of you know Chuck Rossi. His daughter is getting married today. The wedding's going to be today at 5 o'clock. Rehearsal yesterday around 12:30. And I'm officiating at the wedding, so we're driving down there, and Eugene is riding with me. And Eugene is playing basketball, and he had a game this past Monday, and his coach asked him to come down and talk to him after the game. Coach isn't coaching. This is not official. The season hasn't started yet, so the coach can't officially coach. But the coach was attending the games and watching his players as they play, and it's kind of like pickup, but it's kind of funny. So it's all school teams playing against school teams, but the school coach can't coach, so they have other people coaching, but all the coaches are there watching. And so the coach was there watching this past week, and he says, "Hey, Eugene, come on down." And coach says, "Hey, you played good on Monday." Now Eugene's response is, "No, I didn't. I didn't score enough points." I thought he played good too. Coach was happy with his play. But as we talked about scoring points, I said, "Oh, so Eugene, what are some things that you can do to play and go better and do better?" Now, I understand basketball because I've played basketball. It's fun. So I said, "Eugene, there's a few things you can do. One, run the court. On the fast break, I want you to get out and I want you to run down the court. I want you to run through there and I want you to be an outlet pass. So when they see you," I'm talking about things that I know and understand about basketball. And if you watch any basketball and you see someone rip down the rebound and he looks around, he passes it out. And if someone is looking down the court when the ball gets out and he passes it down the court to the guy who's running the outlet pass, easy layup. Just an easy layup. And it's easier to get 2 points quickly than grind and maybe get two. So you get two of those 2 points, and it's great. And I understand the game. So I'm telling him about the game and things that he can do to play the game and maybe get to be scoring more points. I talked to him about some things that he should do underneath around the basket. So Eugene, I want you to get down on the box, and I want you to flash back and forth on the low part of the box. And then Eugene, I want you to come up, and I want you to flash up to the high part of the box. And I'm talking about the game, and I'll explain. Well, I'm coaching my son. I'm kind of encouraging him to do things. But I know the principles of the game. I understand the guidelines of the game. And that's what coaches do all the time. Coaches come along and they say, "This is how you play the game. And if you want to do well at the game, these are the things you need to do." Any guys watching football? Okay. Don't you love it when the referee takes out that yellow hanky and throws it on the field for your team? No, we hate it! And then they often, the flag comes out, and they pan over to look at the coach and see his reaction, rolling his eyes, angry, saying things he shouldn't be saying. And, well, what would he get upset about that? Because the players aren't playing the game correctly. And we all know that usually the team that gets more yellow hankies than the other team doesn't stand as good a chance of winning. Boy, you get that 5-10 yard penalty. I hate the interference calls. Because, man, you think your defensive guy has just made a beautiful play on a 2 yard line. And then the referee, and you know, it's about to turn into 7 points. Not happy. Why? Coaches teach us and encourage us in how to play the game well. And the coaches tell us, these are the rules of the game. These are the principles to how the game works. And if you play the game according to the principles, if you follow the rules, you're going to play well. Sorry, Greg. Have to borrow for a second. Anyone want to hear me play? No? Yes, I play that better. Gee, you guys are disappointing. Did I get it on there correctly? Doesn't sit on there? Let it hang. There I go. See, that's demonstration. I don't understand the rules. I don't even know how to put the guitar away. So, we like it when Greg plays because he knows how to follow the rules. He knows how chords work. He knows how progressions work. He knows how to play notes. You would not enjoy my playing. This is how life goes. Anyone drive here today and drive on the wrong side of the road? Anyone make sure you had gas in the car? Anyone recently check and make sure your oil is properly filled? Again, all of this kind of stuff. We this is how we live. And now I joke around, I talk a lot about driving through Beachwood. Again, I went 30 miles an hour, I didn't go 35, didn't go 40, I went 30. Because I don't want to have a conversation with someone who wants to tell me how much they've appreciated me coming through town. And you just pay attention and you follow the rules. And when you follow the rules, it's amazing how life works. Life seems to work. So we've been talking about this particular point. To make wise decisions in any arena, in any area, requires understanding and submission to the principles and rules that govern that area. It's across the board, everybody. And it's also true with life. If we want to be successful in life, we need to think about the rules that govern how to live and how to live a successful life. Knowing and honoring the rules and principles creates the context for good judgment. And that's in your notes. That's called wisdom. Gesundheit. It's called wisdom. See, when we know and honor the rules and principles of life, that is being wise. When we ignore the rules and principles, we don't succeed. So I say to Eugene, Eugene, this is what you need to do. I'm going to be your coach, Eugene. And let's pretend I don't know anything about basketball. In fact, Eugene, come here. Get up here. Get up here. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. So I've been telling Eugene to rebound and that kind of stuff. So we're playing basketball. And Eugene and I are both under the net. And we're going to go for a rebound. And I go, what's going to happen to me? Tweet! Now, if Eugene and I are both here and we're both under the net and I go, what happens? I get the rebound, but I don't get a foul. Because now I'm boxing him out. So he's going, you can't box me out, Dad. I can get you. Well, because he's a younger buck, I would say yes, but I'm still thicker and heavier, so I'm tougher to move. Now, but you have the rules. Now, if I say to Eugene, I give an outlet pass, he tucks it under his arm, and he runs down the court. Tweet! You are walking! Now, he might be running, but they're going to call a walk because he's not dribbling the ball. See, understanding the rules helps you to be successful. Disregarding the rules means you fail. Thanks, dude. It's true in life. It is just so true in life. As I said, I talk all the time about driving through Beechwood and Pine Beach and all that kind of stuff. So if I decide every day I'm just going to start going 45, 50 miles an hour down the road. I'm not going to have insurance in a couple months. A license either. And Jonah's going to be talking about how much money I'm spending on stupid things. It doesn't lead to success. It just doesn't lead to success. It leads to failure. When we listen to the rules and follow the rules and follow the guidelines, it's amazing how life works. I was just talking to someone the other day, yesterday, and they attended our financial peace class. And they had a lot to deal with and to resolve financially. They said to me yesterday, "I am so glad we came to that financial peace class. I'm writing our last check tomorrow." Or this week, to get out of debt. See, when we apply the rules, it works. But when we don't apply the rules, life does not work. Now, number two. Solomon understood that wise life decisions require an understanding and submission to the principles that rule and govern life. And we have this verse, Proverbs 9, verse 10. Fear of the Lord is the foundation or the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. It's a great verse. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. See, reverence, respect, or fear of God. Now, when we talk about fear, we're not like terror. We're talking about lots of respect, admiration, treating with someone with deference, recognizing their authority, recognizing their place. Is a starting point of making good life decisions. So when we enter into and we start to interact and think about God, we can treat God with respect, and we can acknowledge that God maybe knows what he has to say and maybe understands about life. Or we can treat God with sarcasm and ridicule, and we can mock him and we can disregard him. But the fear of God, reverence, respect, is the starting point for making good life decisions. Why? Because God is the one who put everything together and created all the rules. He's the one who made the rules. Again, Christmas time, you buy the present. It's in a box. And you need to assemble it. Well, God's the one who made the stuff, and he's the one who put the assembly required sticker on the box, and he's the one who gave us the instructions on how to put it together. We all know what happens when we disregard the rules on the box that we open for Christmas. We sit there and say, "Hey, there's extra pieces." No, there aren't extra pieces. There's just failure to put it together correctly. God is the one who made the rules. God is the one who set the boundaries. God is the one who designed it all. And when we listen to the designer, when we pay attention to what the designer said, and we follow the rules the designer gave us, it works. When we blow him off, it doesn't. God God is the one who designed and knows what makes us tick. When you sit down at night, you have those quiet moments in your life when you have a chance to think and reflect. God is the one who knows what those innermost desires and issues are going on in your life. God's the one who knows them. And if you want answers to those innermost things that you wrestle through in your life, those answers are found in listening to God. And when we blow God off, we set ourselves on the foolish path because God knows what makes us tick. And so we can have wisdom or we can be foolish. But God knows what makes us tick because he designed us. Knowledge of the Holy One, the verse says, results in good judgment. Now again, if you're a parent, you have said this, and if you're a child, you have heard this. So we are all covered in this. What were you thinking? What were you thinking? What? Oh.
I wasn't. I thought it was a good idea.
Well, you weren't thinking too well.
I know.
Knowledge of God results in good judgment. If you want to have good judgment, the ability to process things and think things through well, it starts with the knowledge of God. Because he is the designer, he is the fashioner, he is the creator. And when you start to understand the mind of God, you start to understand the mind of the one who made and fashioned and designed everything. The inside track to good decisions begins with knowledge and understanding of God. God is where you go to discover the rules and principles for life. That's where you go. Our world is going to tell us we don't need to listen to God. All of us have been told for most of our lives you really don't need to listen to God. Whoever tells us that is wrong. Wisdom says, I will submit myself to the author of life. That's what wisdom says. Wisdom says, God made me, God designed everything, I'll listen. Foolishness says, I'll do something different. Now, Psalm 1. In Psalm 1, the psalmist understood the importance of listening to and following God's word. Let me turn there. In fact, let me go down and just find it here. Let me read it. It should be on the screen. It says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. We talked about these guys a couple weeks ago, and I said we were going to come back to them. We said we'd come back to this passage. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with the sinners, or join in with the mockers. Oh, the joy of those who do not hang out with these guys. That's what he's saying. You want to know joy in your life? Avoid these guys like the plague. Avoid them. Don't have coffee. Don't go out for tea. Don't play golf. Don't go to the movies. Don't have dinner. Avoid these guys. Oh, the joy of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. You know what I love? People whose lives are trashed. And they're telling people what they should do. I'm broke. My family's left me. I don't have a job. But this is how you should live life. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join with mockers. But they delight in the law, of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They're hanging out over here in the wisdom chair. And they are enjoying the Word of God. And they spend time reading to and listening to the Word of God. Meditating on it day and night. And look what it says. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. They're hanging out, listening to the voice and wisdom of God. They're hanging out, reading the things that God has revealed for us to know and understand about who He is and about life. And as they hang out, meditating, reflecting on what God has to say, their life is working. They're planted like next to a tree, and their life is being fruitful and productive, and the things in their lives are not withering and dying. Now, it doesn't say it's easy peasy, no challenges, no problems, no hurdles, no life issues that stress us. This doesn't say that, but what it says is there's success and victory here. And they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. You know what I discovered? I like leaves on trees. I like it when they're green. I like it when they are colorful. It's annoying when they're on the ground. Isn't it true? It would be wonderful if our trees actually never lost leaves. I like the fall colors. I love it. But then if they just could hold on to spring and get green again instead of falling, it would make life so much easier. But those who listen to these guys over here, they're like leaves just blown around. They rustle, make lots of noise, but they're annoying and useless. Not good. They're like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. You hear that? They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners have no place among the godly. People who hang out over here, who live their lives over here, they're not going to hear "Welcome home" by God. They're going to hear "Depart from me, I never knew you." And they're not going to enter into God's presence in eternity. They're going to enter into a place called the lake of fire in eternity. Now, as I thought about this, I thought we'd just kick them down the stairs. But I'm not going to do that. But these guys, they've got no future. There's no future for them. Because when it comes to God, they're alienated, they're far from God. And God is going to say, "Depart from me." But the Lord watches over the path of the godly. But the path of the wicked leads to destruction. So we wrestle through these things. We have a question. We have a choice. Where do we want to live? Do we want to live in the wise chair? All of us are going to sit in this chair periodically. This is not a chair we can throw away, because this chair is in and of itself not necessarily a wrong chair. It's a decision chair. It's a path choice chair. We're choosing which way we're going to go. We're sitting in this chair, and we know there's a fork in front of us. There's a fork of wisdom. There's a fork of foolishness and mockery. We know we have a path in front of us when we sit in this chair, but then we need to make a decision. Wisdom or foolishness and mockery? Three things here I have in the outline. When you delight in, listen to, and follow God's word, your life is going to work. It'll work. I'm not saying it'll be easy. I'm not saying it'll always be convenient. But when you start to apply God's word to your life, it works. It just works. The individual that I mentioned just a few minutes ago who went through this financial peace class and is working at paying off debt, it's not been easy. It's been work. But they've been applying the principles of God's word. They've been applying God's principles of life. And as they've been applying God's principles of life and they have been working, they have been doing what God says they should do, and it's working. And their last credit card bill is going to be paid and put away. And that monkey's no longer going to be on their back. That hawk is no longer sitting on their shoulder, looking over their shoulder, ready to pounce on what they have. Because it works. When you delight in and listen to and follow God's word, it will change your eternal destiny. Do you want a destiny that is apart from God and far from God? Or do you want a destiny that's in God's presence? Again, listening to the rules of life that God has established. When you delight in and listen to and follow God's word, you will get to know and to delight in God. Can I tell you one of the things that's really cool about sitting over here? You get to enjoy God. You get to enjoy God. Do you want to enjoy God? Or do you want to be totally freaking out when you think of him? What's your preference? Do you want to think of God as going to the principal? Do you want to think of God as going before the judge? Or do you want to think of God as your favorite uncle that you're looking forward to having visit? Or a best friend that you're going to get to spend time with? See, when you spend time and you start to delight in God's word and listen to God's word and start to apply it to your life, you get to delight in God. God has never desired and never intended to be this intimidating, scary boogeyman that has been created in our world. God has a bad rap in our culture, because our culture has painted God with all of the negative language and imagery. He's going to punish you. He's going to get you. He's going to nail you to the wall. Now, is God righteous and just, and does he hold us accountable? Yes. Those who have decided to reject him, those who have decided to push him aside, they're going to feel the consequences of that rejection. But what God desires is that we would delight in him. Spend time in his word. And when we do, we get to enjoy God. Gesundheit. We're sharing it around. Just think of it for a second. Gesundheit. Old language. It means God bless you. We say it out of habit because it's just tradition. But we all should be sneezing if you really want God to bless you and hanging out in His Word. It's a choice. We have a choice to make. See, as we walk through life, we have a choice. And so we come back to Ephesians 5. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. We have a choice to make, folks. Do you want to choose to walk a wise path? Or do you want to choose to walk a foolish path? What, fill in the blank, is the wise thing to do? I want to encourage you, as you look at your choices of life, to choose the wise chair. I want to encourage you to listen to the counsel and the advice of God. Listen to the insight of God. And choose wisdom. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for the time you've given us to interact and look at your word, to think through its principles and values. And Father, I would ask you to allow it to shape our lives for your glory and for your honor. But Father, I ask you would let us listen because, Father, we want to live our lives well and we want to know victory and success in life. We want to thrive in life. Help us to listen and follow. Father, I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The question we started with about 5 weeks ago and end with today, in light of your past experiences, your present circumstances, and your future ambitions, what is the wise thing to do? And I trust that as we've walked through this series and really kind of chewed on that a little bit, that it is helpful to you as you walk your journey of life. Which chairs are we going to sit in? And I want to encourage you to be constantly mulling on that as the weeks go on. Keep those questions forefront in your mind. You might want to post them up in a place on your house where you're going to see them. In light of my past experiences, present circumstances, and future ambitions, what is the wise thing to do? Well, again, we want you to take that communication card, the connection card, and if you're a guest with us, fill that out and drop that up at the front or back later. If you have questions for us or we need to sign up for something or need to let us know something, please use that. Drop that in the offering plate, which will be coming around in a moment. And as they pass from the back forward, feel free to stand and join us as we sing one last song. Let's pray. Father God, we ask for wisdom. You tell us that if any of us lacks it, and we all do, that if we ask you for it, you will give it to us. But Father, in the midst of that, there's our responsibility of thinking well through our life and the choices that we make. So we pray for wisdom, but we also pray that you would help us to think well and to look at the choices that lie before us and to choose wisdom and not foolishness. Father, we want to be people who delight in you. Far better to sit in that chair of delighting in you and wisdom and not worrying than to choose to go our own direction and sit in the chair of the fool or the mocker, not knowing what's coming next. Father, help us to think well. To make wise choices. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to give to you. We recognize that all comes from you, and we are merely stewards of those resources. And so right now, we give them back to you. With open hands and joyful hearts, not because we must, but because we desire to, because we want to see what is given used for the furtherance of the gospel here in Toms River and around the world. So, Father, take what's given this morning and bless it. Multiply it, we pray, in Jesus' name.